Thank you to the Ungers, David and Leah Unger, for sponsoring tonight's class in memory of Hannah Unger, Mrs. Unger. Many of you probably know her and knew her a lot better than I did. Remember everything she did for the shul, everything the Ungers as a couple did for the shul. Powerhouse of the Young Israel of Oak Woods, correct? Oak Woods on Coolidge for a long time. And big supporters of the shul. And obviously we know the family. And Mirtz Hashem on this Shloshim, this class should be Le'iloi Nishmasa, an elevation for her soul. So, thank you to the Ungers for sponsoring. And now let's get started. I usually give this class in conjunction with the Parsha of Toldos because it's so interesting, the relationship between Yaakov and Esav. I feel like I've talked about it in Detroit, but not to this class. I don't remember to what class I talked about it to, but let me think for a second. It might have been in between Mincha Marv when we earlier in the fall. Not 100% sure, but either way, we know this pasuk. The pasuk tells us in the Aseres Hadibros, Kabet. We'll read it again in a couple weeks for Parshas for Shavuos. Kabet esavicha v'yasimecha leman yarichun yamecha al hadama asher Hashem lokach nosein lach. Honor your father and your mother, so that you'll have long life, longer days on this land that Hashem gave you. We talked about this pasuk many times because that's our topic. For the last 6 months, it's been our topic. So, kabed esavicha v'yasimecha. What words are extra in that phrase? Because we know that, especially when it comes to halachas, every word is darshan to teach us something else. So there's one word in Hebrew that has no translation. Good trivia question. It's the word es. The word et, aleph tuf, has no translation. It's therefore, I guess, rhythm or linguistic syntax. I don't exactly know why it's there. I'm sure someone could explain it to me, but I have an intuition of when to say it. I don't know why, but you get the feeling, like, just the way that sentences flow sometimes, you just get the feeling that there's supposed to be an S in certain sentences. Either way, at least that's how I feel when I write in Hebrew. There should be an S, like, randomly. It's just like, this needs another word. Let me just put an S in there. I don't know if anyone's had that experience writing in Hebrew, but sometimes I do. Either way, the word S is always extra, and there's a famous Gemara, I believe, I don't know where it is. Famous, so famous, I don't remember, but I think it's in Kiddushin, that Rabbi Akiva darshins all the Essen in the Torah. Right? It's funny to say it like that, because Essen in Yiddish is food, right? People, right? That's right. I believe there is a restaurant, I think in the Five Towns, called Hamisha Essen. And when I was in Yeshiva University, my brother actually ran the YU radio. I don't know what they called it. I think it was called the YU radio. Either way, they had a website. W-Y-U-R. That's right. WYUR. How do you know that?
Because I went to school.
And you were involved in the radio? So there once upon a time there were some more famous shows that actually made it to the mainstream from WYUR. And my brother was I don't know what you called the president or the director, I don't know what he was. But either way, so my buddies and I on Thursday nights, we would always stay up late in the Beis Medrash. And after Thursday nights, before Shabbos, you don't have classes the next day, you'd stay up a little extra. You stay up a little later than usual. And so a few buddies of mine, we didn't want to just go straight to bed. It's Thursday night. We don't have classes the next morning. So we decided we were going to start our own radio show. And we called it Hamish Essen. I don't know why we called it that. We didn't have any food, but we just loved the name, Hamish Essen. So every Thursday night at midnight for a couple of months, we used to have this radio show. No one listened because it was midnight on Thursday night, but it was fun to do and just talk to each other. But either way, so Essen here does not mean food. It's referring to the word S, Aleph Tuf. And Rabbi Akiva darshaned all of the Essen, all of the Etin, all of the word S in the Torah, and then he actually stopped. The Gemara says that when he got to I think it was Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, that you have to fear God. He said, how could I ever darshan something as a subcategory of fearing God? There's nothing even comparable to fearing God. So he gave up and he said that I am now taking back all of the drushas. All of the drushas that I ever made with the word S are now null and void. So Gemara says, you're going to get rid of all of them because you can't figure out this one. He says, a famous line from Rabbi Akiva, you know, just like Kishem Shekibati Schar al Hadrisha, Kach Kibati Schar al Haprisha. Just like I get reward for darshaning the Essen, so too I'm going to get reward for not darshaning the Essen. Right? This has a very important lessons in, you know, when to fold your hands when you know you're losing. We talked about that recently. I don't know, it was last week or so, but comes the Gemara and says, the truth is, we do have a drasha for Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, which will save all the S's. At least that's one way of interpreting the Gemara. And that the word Es Hashem Elokecha Tira is coming to include Talmidei Chachamim, those who represent Hashem's Torah. It's true, they are not necessarily on the same level of Hashem, of course not. But in some way, they represent Hashem's Torah, they represent Hashem's voice, and therefore the word S is coming to teach us that we have to be fearful of the Talmidei Chachamim too. So with that introduction, what do we learn from the word S in these psukim? Kabed Es Avicha v'Es Imecha. Honor your father and your mother. What could we possibly include within this phrase, which is not already included, but is nonetheless similar to a father and mother? If you look at source number 2, you'll find the answer. Eshes Av Nami Da'araisahi. Very interesting phrase. That respecting the wife of your father is also a mitzvah, meaning your stepmother. Ditanya, how do you know? The Braisa tells us, Kabeid es avicha v'es imecha, es avicha zu eshes avicha. What's included with es avicha? Your father, including your father's wife, even if she's not your mother. V'es imecha, zu eshes avicha, v'es imecha zu baal imecha. And Baal Imcha, and the husband of your mother. Similarly, your stepfather, you also have to give honor to. Now, this is in partly a question that was being asked in the middle of the Gemara and Ksubas that we're not going into, but suffice to say, it's in the middle of the question to prove that a stepmother has to be honored also. But in the middle of that, it quotes inside this brisa. The whole point is to get to the stepmother piece. But in the middle of the brisa, it then says the following drasha. What else is extra? What else is extra in this pasuk? Maybe you could say, operative word being maybe, you could say that what's extra also beside the word S is the vav. Kabeid es avicha v'es imecha. Not just your stepmother, not just your stepfather, but also what's included in a vav. Says the Gemara, vav yisera l'rabos es achicha hagadol. Your older brother is included by this letter, this one letter, this little vav. The vav is including your older brother. So Gemara says, in response to whatever question was coming beforehand, I probably should have put it in, but either way, whatever question was coming beforehand about the stepmother, that you have to respect her and honor her. So the Gemara says, Hani mili mechayim. That's only while your father is alive that you have to respect your stepmother. Aval achar misa, lo. Once your father dies, you no longer have a responsibility to honor or requirement to honor your stepmother. Meaning the obligation, as we've talked about before, I don't know if it was last class or two classes ago, that the obligation goes through the one you're really obligated to, right? We talked about grandparents last time. There are one perspective that we had, one suggestion that we had was that the obligation to respect your grandparents filters through your parents, meaning the reason you have to honor them is because that is an honor to your parents, right? By honoring your grandparents, you're honoring your parents. That's one way of understanding. And here too, the only obligation that a person would have towards a stepmother is through the father themselves. And therefore, if the father dies, then the stepmother is no longer someone you have to give honor to.
It would be different if a child, say, was being brought up by a grandparent after a father had died. So then I mean, the grandparent would be
good. Yeah, we spoke the last couple of weeks. We spoke about how that's not necessarily the way to understand it. Meaning it might be true that it is an honor to your parent, but there is an independent, according to the Ramah that we saw, according to the Rashi that we saw, there is an independent obligation towards your grandparent, regardless of your parent. So yes, you're right, that the obligation of grandparent is much stronger, because there are much other sources that indicate that the obligation is independent. Here, however, at least for the stepmother, it's dependent on the father, according to this Gemara. Now, a lot of interesting nuances in this drasha. Any questions so far? Besides Sarita? No questions so far. There's a lot to mine in this source. So let's get at it. First of all, the Gemara said that it only applies while the father is alive. That would presumably also extend to the other drasha, that a stepfather we're only obligated to respect or honor a stepfather while the mother is still alive. But what about the last one? What about your elder sibling? Are those connected? We're saying that the father and the mother dictate whether you're obligated to honor your stepfather and stepmother. But what about the older brother? Is that also dependent on a parent? Or is this a completely different drasha? Are these drushas connected in the means that we're doing them, meaning that they have the same category or the same characteristics, or are they separate and disparate drushas? So we'll keep that in the back of your head. Secondly, where is this drusha coming from? You'll notice, by the way, you'll remember that we have two different obligations when it comes to our parents. We talked about this in our second or third class. We have kibud avaim and we have mora avaim. We have to respect them. We've talked, sort of conventional wisdom says that kabed es avicha v'esimecha means the positive, physical, tangible things that we give to our parents. And mora avaim is the refrainment, to not disgrace our parents, to not disobey our parents, right? To not do things that would upset our parents, right? Which pasuk is this being darshaned from? The obligation towards a step-parent and then also the obligation towards a older brother is being darshan only from kibud av va'im. Says the Chasam Sofer in source number 3, es avicha rabos eshes avicha lefi zen nire. It seems like, according to this, says the Chasam Sofer, devimora lo mechayev. You would not be obligated to fear, to hold back, to refrain from doing bad things. You would just have to do the good things. Dehasam lo ksiv es. What does the pasuk say by Mora Avaim, the Chasam Sofer, a brilliant drasha? Ki'im ish imo v'aviv tirau. Notice there's no S there. It doesn't say es imo v'es aviv tirau. It just says ish imo v'aviv tirau. And therefore, maybe when it comes to a step-parent, you're only obligated to give them the gifts, to do the good things for them. But in terms of refraining from doing bad things, maybe there's no obligation in that sense. Unclear how that would fit with how we understood before that it goes through a parent. But then the question becomes even more complicated, because what about an older sibling? Now, maybe you've noticed this already. The word et, is not in the pasuk by Mora Avaim, but what is in the pasuk?
The vav
is in the pasuk. Ish imo v'aviv tira'u. So maybe the vav would apply. Yeah, aviva.
But how can we say that's extra? I mean, that's part of the sense of the sentence. Even
good. Good.
How would you express it without that?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's not a foolproof question, because there are instances where the Torah doesn't have a vav, or maybe you think it should have a vav, but you're right that generally we don't darshan vavs. That's not something we usually say, hey, that's extra, why is that vav there? Right? We don't usually say that. In which case, the question becomes, as we'll see soon, whether or not this is a din d'araisa, whether or not this is a biblical drasha, or is this simply a rabbinic drasha? Meaning, it's not really in the pasuk. The word S is always extra. right? It doesn't mean anything. So for that, that would be a d'oraisa din. If you look closely at source number two, what does it say at the beginning? Eshes av nami d'oraisa hi. Right? That's clear. The stepmother obligation is a clear obligatory, you know, obligatory mitzvah on a biblical level. But that's not necessarily the same for the other kind of drasha. That brisa in source number two darshins from the word es, but achicha gadol, an older sibling, darsha is darshined from the vav, not the es. So it's not necessarily the case that the older brother is also included on a biblical level. Maybe what Aviva is saying is correct, that the vav is not the same kind of drasha. It might be included just because it's also in this pasuk, but it's not to say that it's the same level of obligation.
I have a question.
Bless you, Mincy. I know you muted, but I still saw that. yeah, Dina.
So I understand that once a father dies, your relationship with the stepmother is different, and that relationship was only there because of the stepmother. But a sibling relationship is always there.
Good question. Good question. Can you say otherwise? Be your own lawyer for a second. Make the argument against what you're saying, Adina. How could it be that an older sibling also goes through the parent? The obligation to respect our older sibling also is only dependent on the parent being alive. No? All right, so then we'll hold off, and we'll get there, because we'll see it in a few sources, maybe in source number six, if we can get there. Another interesting question that people ask, what about step-siblings? Now, you'll notice here that the Gemara specifically says step-parents, but then it says, achicha gadol, your older brother. Well, what about other step-siblings? Relationships. So asks the Rosh in source number four. This is a Rosh in a tshuva, very early tshuva, 13th century maybe. Shesha'ata im chayev adam bekavod av achiv hagadol me'imo kamo ba'achiv me'aviv. What an interesting question. Is a person obligated towards their older brother from his mother just as they would be obligated to their older brother from their father? Now, we talked last week about the obligation of studying Torah and how that might differentiate the grandparent, the obligation towards a grandparent, because it might be born out of that obligation from the grandparent to the child in teaching that grandchild. And maybe that's dependent on if the parent in between is also obligated, but if it's a mother, it's different. We talked about that last week, but that's because it's connected to the obligation of Talmud Torah, which only applies to males. I can't understand this question. Where does it come from? I personally have thought about it. I can't justify it. I put my lawyer hat on and tried to argue this case. I can't figure it out. Why would there ever be a difference between a stepbrother from a mother or a stepbrother from a father? I can't figure it out. There's no difference in Kibbutz Av Aim. So why would there be a difference when it comes to a sibling? I don't really know.
Is there a difference in terms of whether they'd be allowed to marry?
No, you'd never be allowed to marry a step sibling. No, I don't think. Yeah, that last week's parsha.
Are you talking about a step sibling or like a half brother?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, a half brother. That's what I meant. I meant to say a half brother. Step brother, obviously, is a whole different situation. Step brother, you would be probably allowed to marry. But
it also answers the question that we didn't ask: was maybe we would thought only a whole sibling were. Same mother, same father.
Right.
So here, at least they're assuming that the same father, you're in the Koyav, and they're asking only about the mother. So we might have also to ask, would it have to be...
You're right. It's an interesting starting point. The assumption is that a half-brother from a father is obligated. That's the starting point of the question, which is, where do you get that from? Right? That's what Batya is saying. How do you know that a half-brother from a father is also obligated? Maybe any half-brother or half-sibling is not obligated. Okay, so says the Rush, Da she'en chilek. Not only, says the Rush, is there no differentiation between a half-brother, thank you for that correction, Shiffy, not only is there not a differentiation between a distinction between a half brother from a mother, half brother from a father. Ki kemo shechayv adam b'chvod imo kemo b'chvod aviv. Just like you're obligated to respect your mother, just like you respect your father. Kachayv b'chvod achiv agadol me'imo kemo achiv me'aviv. So same, just like you're obligated, as I said, just like you're obligated to your father and your mother equally, you're obligated to your half brother equally, regardless of which parent it comes from. Ubiksuvas perek hanose, and this is source number 2. He says, Tanya, kabi de savicha zu eishes savicha v'asimach zu balimecha esin kididarish vav yisera mi v'es imecha l'rabo sachicha gadol. Where does the extra vav come from? It comes from the esimecha. So not only is there no distinction to exclude the half-brother from the mother, but there's an emphasis on the half-brother from the mother. That one is that's the actual source of the drasha. Amam yisur dechsiv gabi imo kadarish la. The whole source is from the mother. And therefore, says the Rush, and we can take that literally. The application to the mother is something the Rush is using as a source, which is interesting, that it's a drasha, but because it's connected to the mother, that gives it extra credence that a half-brother from a mother is obligated. And if anything, the question should be asked the other way, right? If anything, the question should be asked, how do you know that you're obligated to respect an older brother who's half-brother, an older half-brother from your father? Because the vav is not connected to the father. That doesn't come up, though. He doesn't ask or answer that question. But if the question would be asked, presumably that would be where it comes from.
When you say older brother, do you mean brother? Good. Or does brother mean brother?
Good. So what brother are we talking about? Because older brother...
Do you mean brother and sister or just the oldest sibling?
Good, good, good. I know what you're asking. Yes. When we say older brother, what do we mean? We know that the word ach or achiv could be a general term. We know that in at least biblical Hebrew, oftentimes the male term is supposed to refer to all people, not just to males, right? B'nai Yisrael is not just talking to the men, right? B'nai Yisrael is all the Jewish people, right? The default for a mix of men and women is male. So when it says achich, achich ha'agadol, what are we referring to when we say achich ha'agadol? Are we referring three options? Option number one, I guess really they could be trees, so it's more than that. But option, level number one is, are we talking only about the oldest brother, right? And we'll see in a second why we might think that. Level number one is oldest or older, meaning are we only looking at the very oldest sibling, or are we looking at any older sibling? So for instance... And I, whenever I give this year, I always use myself as a litmus test for a lot of these questions because I am a younger twin. So a lot of these questions are very relevant to me. Do I have to honor my older brother who's only 2 minutes older than me? Unless you ask my mother who says he was only 1 minute older than me. Either way, he was older than me. The question, however, is, what is the basis or what is the source of this? Because not only do I have an older brother, but I also have an older sister, and she's the oldest. So when we ask this question, are we asking only an oldest brother, or are we saying any older brother? That's question number one. Question number two is, are we talking older brother, which is how it literally says in the Gemara, or are we talking older sibling, right? So this could include a sister. So we'll get to that in a second. Hold on those questions, because we'll get to there one by one. First, let's go back to what we were saying before in terms of the drasha from the pasuk. Is it a biblical obligation? Are we obligated towards our older sibling just as much to the same stringent level as we are obligated towards our parents? Or is it a lesser obligation? If you look at source number five, okay. Good to have you, Mincy. If you look at source number five, so the Rambam says like this. Chayiv Adam lechaber es eishes aviv af al pi she'en imo. You're obligated to respect and honor your father's wife, even though she's not your mother. Only kolz man she'aviv kayam shezeh bechlal kvod aviv, because that is included. It is a subcategory, not its own category, but it's a subcategory of honoring your father. Right, as we said before, the obligation goes through the father, which is why if the father dies, no longer obligated. V'chein mechabed bal imo, similarly, the husband of your mother. Kozman she'imo keyemes, aval achar misasa eno chayev. After she dies, you do not have an obligation. And then the Rambam says the following phrase, and put your Rambam analytics caps on for this one. Umidivrei sofrim sheyiya adam chayev bechvod achiv hagadol bekikavod aviv. That from divrei sofrim, from the words of the sofrim, which is usually a reference to the rabbis, from the words of the rabbis, a person is obligated in honoring his achiv hagadol, his older brother. Just like he's obligated, kik kavod aviv, just like he's obligated to his father. So first of all, we saw from Rashi last week, what did we say? The word kik kavod aviv is an interesting word. Let me see for a second if I can get the sources here. Rashi by a grandparent, if you remember, Rashi had said, hold on. V'ein alai l'chabedcha keben. Right, I don't have to obligate. I don't have to respect. Right, like the story of Rav Acha bar Yaakov not getting the water for his grandfather. He said, "I'm not your son, and therefore I don't have to respect you like a son." And the Aruch HaShulchan came along and said, "Yeah, not like a son, but you do have to respect him to a certain extent." Right, that was the drasha. So here too, maybe the Rambam is saying, "Achiv hagadol kikavod aviv." So that means just like a father. So we have a question here, a couple questions. What is different about how the Rambam presents the first two, the step-parents, and the Rambam presents the brother? If we're going to look at it analytically, the Rambam says, Chayev adam l'chaved es eshes aviv dot dot dot, Shezeh bichlal kvod aviv. It is included in the obligation to respect your father. And then the next line says, Midivrei sofrim shi adam chai bechvod achiv hagadol kikavod aviv. Also, you should respect your older brother like you respect your father. But he does not say the phrase, I'm getting a lot of blank faces or a lot of, trying to think it over faces. If I let you go any further, I'm going to start seeing smoke. So I'll just let you in on it before you overload. He doesn't say bichlal. The Rambam, when he says the mitzvah to obligate a person towards their stepmother, it says bichlal kvod aviv. The obligation is included within the obligation towards a parent. But the next phrase doesn't say that it's within any other biblical obligation. The Rambam goes out of his way to reintroduce the older brother with the words, midivrei sofrim. That sounds like it's a separate category. If the stepmother and stepfather were the same kind of category, so he would have said that before all three of them. He would have started source number five with midivrei sofrim, X, Y, and Z. But he doesn't do that. He lists the stepmother and the stepfather, and then he says, oh, and by the way, midivrei sofrim, sounding like it's a different level of obligation. And then he also doesn't say bichlal kvod aviv, like I said before. He says instead, kikavod aviv, similar to a father. What, Esther?
Out of left field.
That he changes his tune, you mean?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds as if the Rambam is going out of his way to say that this is a different situation. It's a different level of obligation. And many Achronim look at this Rambam and say, therefore, one is obligated towards an older sibling only on a rabbinic level. This might come back to what we said from Aviva before, that drasha that they made is very different from the drasha they made for the step-parent. The step-parent was learned from the word et, Aleph Tuf. That's an entirely extraneous word. As we know from Mora Avaim that the Chassam Sofer pointed out in source number 3, you don't even need that word. By Mora Avaim, it's Ish Imo V'Aviv. There's no S. However, when it comes to the Vav, The vav seems to be a regular use of that letter. That's not an extra letter. That's a normal letter. For whatever reason, the rabbis came along and used that vav. And this, the rabbis, have a tendency to do this, right? Chazal have a tendency to do this, that they'll do what's called an asmachta. They have a good reason for a halacha. There's some kind of impetus for them to have a certain din, whether it's a gezeira to prevent someone to do something else, or it's a takana for the sake of, for the sake of civility in a family or a society. They'll have a reason to establish a certain rule, a certain halacha, and then they'll find a little hint of that institution, of that din, of that halacha, inside of a pasuk. And here they find this vav. It's not a clear proof and a clear source, but it's something. So the rabbis come along and use this vav to include an older brother. But that's not to say, at least what it sounds like from the Rambam is, it's not to say that it's on the same level as honoring your stepfather, your stepmother. Those are biblical obligations learned out from extra words in the pasuk. But this vav, that's not so extra. That's a regular letter that's always in the pasuk. And therefore, it's only a midrabanan din. The rabbi said it, but it's not really a full-fledged drasha from a pasuk. Yeah, batcha.
Yes, but the obligation to honor one's step-parent ends with the life of the parent, whereas this obligation to honor one's older sibling is different. We don't make it, doesn't end with the end of the lifetime of the parent.
That's according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, you're right. Notice in the Gemara. The Gemara, when it talks about the cessation of the obligation, right? The ending of the obligation, it only says so in a general phrase. If you look at the end of source number 2, right, the Hebrew words are Hani Mili Mechayim Aval Achar Misalo. It doesn't explain, it doesn't clarify what it's talking about. It just says that halacha or these halachos. Right? Notice that it's an abbreviation. Hani Mili is literally means these words. It doesn't say which words. It says these words. In reference to that brisa, it lists all three of them. It says these words are only while he's alive. But after he's dead, no. We don't know what that's referring to. The Rambam in source number 5 comes along to tell us that it's referring only to the step-parents. But who's to say it doesn't also apply to the brother too? So it's not that you're right that the Rambam doesn't say that, and therefore it seems like there's a stringency about an older sibling more than a step parent, but it could just as easily go the other way, and that's what we'll see in source number 6, the Ramban, and listen to the words of the Ramban because this will come back to what we asked earlier in terms of why we have the halacha in the first place. And when does it apply? If you look at the Ramban in source number 6, Aval achicha hagadol, im chashvil harishonim she'en hamitzvah kein. I don't really know why the word im is there. It doesn't really work with a sentence. But either way, the Rishonim say the mitzvah is not the same as other mitzvos. Ela bechaye ha'avos. The only obligation towards an older sibling is during the lifetime of the parent. Why? What's the reasoning for that? Listen to this Ramban. Maybe parents in the room can relate. Says the Ramban, Lefi shehu genai lahem, shiyit bazu toldosam. They don't want their own children to be disrespected, even by another one of their children. Vehem mitzta'arim bazeh. They don't want their kids to fight. Uminhag kol hanashim liyaser bneim linhog kavod bigdulayhem. A parent always wants their child to respect their elders, whether that means a sibling or an adult. A parent should instill within a child that they respect their older siblings or older people that are older than them. Says the Ramban, after the period in the second line in source number 6, V'chein nireh shelo nisrabe bevav yisera ela kein mash nisrabe be'ikar. The vav can only be darshaned as well or as extended as that which is being darshaned from. If it's being learned out from a source, it can't be including more than the source itself. So says the Ramban. Bi'ikar ha-teva, v'im ken ha-kol chozer al kavod ha-avos. Right? The fact that you're using the vav to include an obligation towards an older sibling, the fact that you're using the vav that comes from a parent, you're borrowing that vav. That vav is connected to the parent's obligation, the obligation towards a parent. That must mean, says the Ramban, that it's connected thematically to the parent. It can only go as far as the parent is alive, right? That is similar to the Rush, that this vav, in its connection to Es Imecha, is a formidable connection. It's not just we're making a drasha out of thin air, but it's learned out through the mother. Through the fact that the mother is alive, you have an obligation to your older brother. Says the Ramban, why? Because every parent wants their children to get along. And you want your children to respect their elders, whether that's a sibling or it's a parent, or it's an adult of other families. Huge chiddush from the Ramban. Huge chiddush from the Ramban, because what this means is that just like a step-parent is only obligatory while the real biological parent is alive, so too, honoring your sibling, and this is a full sibling, honoring your sibling is only going to go through the parent also. This has a lot of nafkaminas, not just when the parent dies. But think, for instance, about, you know, your older sibling wants something, but your parent disagrees. Are you obligated to respect the wishes of your older sibling? Well, if the obligation is independent, meaning that it's to respect your sibling regardless of your parent, so then it doesn't matter if your parent disagrees. But if the obligation only goes through the avenue in which you're obligated to your sibling is through the parent, well, the parent can stop it before it gets there, right? The parent doesn't want it, so it doesn't carry over to the child. So you can think of other obligations there. Yeah, Esther?
Are we talking about the same level of kavod that you have for a parent? I mean, what are the parameters here?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. No one really defines it so well. The closest we get to, the closest so far that we've gotten to, is the Rambam when he says, "Kik kavod aviv." You have to respect your older sibling just like your father. That sounds pretty clear that it's the same thing. But we also noted, and it also sounds a little bit like that, like this in the Rambam too, the Rambam uses the word kavod. The Chasam Sofer points out that it's only darshan from the pasuk kabedes avicha v'yesimecha. But in terms of mora, in terms of fearing, in terms of refraining from disgracing your older sibling, it doesn't say anything like that. Right? It never says the same drasha from Mora Avim, because the pasuk is Ish Imo V'Aviv Tiro. You can't darshan it from there unless you use that vav, which the Gemara does not do, at least explicitly. So it could be that from the Rambam you see it's the same level of obligation, but it also could be that it's only half of the mitzvos, only those things that are tangible and in the positive sense, but not those things that you have to refrain from doing. It doesn't sound like that from the Ramban, because the Ramban sounds like what the parents don't want is that their children fight, which is a refrainment, not necessarily a positive, tangible thing that they're giving to each other.
I find it very vague, because there's no specific examples. I mean, it's like global. I mean, you can disagree with respect.
Well, that comes back to the general. That comes back to the general obligation towards a parent, which is, what is a parent like? You know, what does a parent like? What's a parent not like? Are there objective standards of what is kibud av v'aim? Let's say your parent doesn't want you to say kaddish after they die. Are you allowed to listen to your parent? Right. So that's sort of one of the.
We're talking about, I love that. Are you not talking about just disagreements about, you know, protocol, doing things, and how, like a child fighting for the same education that they had, or something, for a younger child that didn't, maybe there isn't money for it, or it's nothing like that. This is all related to halacha.
No, kibud av v'aim is not necessarily when it comes to a mitzvah. So go back to the water example that we always talk about. If your parent asks you for a glass of water, so if your older sibling asks you for a glass of water, you'd have to go get it for them. right?
Which one would you do first?
Oh, parent, obviously a parent. Okay. Especially according to this, right? According to the Ramban, for sure you go to the parent first, because the only obligation is towards the parent to get to the sibling. But even beyond that, even without that concept, let's say that the older sibling is an independent obligation. If you remember, the Gemara in Kiddushin said that when it comes to an obligation, and we talked about this last week also, and when it comes to an obligation towards two people, and one of those people is also obligated to the third person, so then you always go to that third person, right? We talked about this with a grandparent, right? If a grandparent and a parent ask for the water, so then you give it to, or at least logic might dictate, we talked about this last week, that is machlokas, logic might dictate you give it to the grandparent because you're obligated to the grandparent and your parent is obligated to the grandparent. Right, so in this case also, if your sibling asks for water, your parent asks for water, even if they're two independent mitzvos, you could still say you give it to the parent first because your sibling is also obligated to the parent, right? Mm-hmm. So that one's not hard to crack the case. But let's keep moving, because now we're going to get into which siblings are we talking about. As the halachos ketanos, another tshuva. Sheila, l'rabo sachicha gadol, gadol mamish? Are we talking about the oldest, mamish, the oldest? Hu harishon shekulon tachtav, ubenehem shavim. And anyone else is all the same, right? The first one is the main guy. He's what we call in Hebrew the bechor. He's the one that's going to get the double inheritance. He's the one that the parents, you know, always put their entire theoretical, most ideal upbringing towards, right? By the time you get to the second kid, you let the kid eat dirt off the floor. You don't care what happens to them. But the first kid, that's the one you put all your efforts into, right? You put all of your thoughts and dreams of raising a child, you put that into the first kid. So maybe, says Al-Khustanos, when we say Achich Ragadol, and especially given the notion of the Ramban and it goes through the parents' wishes, maybe that first sibling, that oldest boy, is the paradigm of what we're talking about. But an older brother who's not the oldest, so who cares about that? Oh, says the Halachos Kanas, Kol Hagadol Mechaver Kodem. Anyone who's older maybe is also takes precedence. Tshuva, says the Halachos Kanas, Mistabra Gadol Ha'achim. It's specifically the oldest boy, shenichnas b'makom ha'av, shehu av l'kulam. And this could be related to makas b'choros. The oldest brother, the b'chor, he's the one that's going to take over the family business. He's the one that when he gets older, he's going to take over the fishing. He's going to take over the house duties. Everything you needed to take care of the rest of the kids, the oldest brother takes care of it, and therefore, specifically, the older brother gets this obligation. Yeah, Aviva.
So, so two things. First of all, if he's not a bechor, if there are girls before him,
good.
So then,
good question. It would not apply.
So, even if you say it's the oldest son, then are the older girls still obligated towards the oldest, even though he's younger than them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think once you're not a bechor, my impression is that you wouldn't get it.
So if there's no oldest son,
yeah.
The girls are the oldest,
right.
Then does it,
right. So use,
does it automatically,
right.
Become?
So use my family as the litmus test. My family, there would be no obligation towards the oldest brother, because there is no oldest brother. Right, we have an oldest sister. She happens to have been born on February 29th. So right now she's only 4 and a half, but we still consider her the oldest, just out of the kindness of our hearts. Either way, but yeah, that's my inclination. I haven't seen anyone talk about it, and that's my inclination, that it's only the oldest brother and no one else. So this is what the Halachos kind of asks. Is it oldest brother, or is it all older brothers or all oldest siblings? Hold on. Right, and if you look at the Shvus Yaakov in source number 8, he says a similar phrase, nearly peyusham lefisha kvod ugdulas ave v'imo yoresh benam hagado laniach sarim lebenam. Right, that the parents are always going to look at the oldest boy as their, or I guess, firstborn boy, as the inheritor of their legacy. They're going to give them the crown. Fine, I'm not going to talk about that. Why are they the ones that are obligated the most to getting that we're obligated towards the most? Because they get the inheritance. Ugedula shel aviv. And the grandeur of the father. V'im kein bebas lo shayach kol zeh. Says the Shvas Yaakov, not only are we going to now rule out anyone who's not the oldest brother, but we're also going to rule out all older sisters. Because older sisters don't get that inheritance. They don't get that special treatment from the parents, or halakhic treatment from the halachos of Yerusha. That's according to the Shvas Yaakov. If, however, you look at source number 9, says the Birkei Yosef, not so fast. Lefitam haramban yira dechayev lechabed kol ha'achim hagadolim imenu. According to the Ramban, what does the Ramban say? The Ramban said, well, the parents don't want their children to fight. They want their children to respect all older siblings or older people in general, right? If you look back at the source of source number 6, In the middle of the first line, Lefi shehu genai lehem sheyitz bazu told Osam vehem mitzdarim bezeh harbe. They have anguish over the fact that the younger siblings don't respect their older siblings. Uminhag kol hanashim. This is in the second line of source number 6. Uminhag kol hanashim. All people have the tendency liyaser b'neim to teach, to discipline their children, linhog kavod b'gedulehem, to give honor and respect to those who are older than them. That doesn't say to the oldest brother. That doesn't say to the oldest sibling. It says to anyone older than them. Says the Birkei Yosef, it seems therefore it would be kol ha'achim ha'gdolim. Back to source number 9, in the middle of the phrase, middle of the line, v'chein efshar dechayev b'chvod achoso ha'gdola. Similarly, you'd be obligated towards an older sister. The mitzvahs ha'av al haben linhog kavod b'gedolim mimenu. Paraphrasing the line from the Ramban in source number 6, the Birkei Yosef says, because the instruction of a parent, of a father, on a child is to act with respect towards anyone who is older than them. Anyone. Kavod b'gedolim mimenu. So what do we have thus far? We have a machlokes achronim. Number 1, does it apply to all older siblings? Does it apply only to the oldest sibling? Does it apply only to the oldest male? If the male is the oldest, is the Bechor. We will have to pick up with this next week. And we will see some interesting examples of what seems to be sources that indicate whether or not it applies to sisters, and whether or not it applies to oldests, or just to anyone older. Very interesting sources that hopefully we'll get to next week. We'll start with source number 10, a story about Rachel and Leah, who, as you know, were sisters. No boy in that equation. So we'll see what comes from there, and we'll pick it up there. Yeah, Viva.
According to the way that Shmuel Yaakov says it, that it's because he's the Bechor and the Yerusha and all that.
Yeah.
So that would seem to mean that part of the package is that the older brother, that the Bechor, also has an obligation towards his younger sibling.
That's the theory behind it. That's the theory behind it, that the oldest brother is supposed to take care of the younger siblings. That's the theory behind it. But it's really, what he's doing here is trying to define what the Gemara said. And he's giving a reason to try to define it. But that's not to say that it's in any way a compensation, right? It's not in any way dependent on the oldest sibling's activities. But one question you could ask is, how closely defined is it to a Bechor? Because there are other types of firstborn males that don't get Yerusha, right? The only oldest male that gets a Yerusha is if they're naturally born. Let's say they're cesarean birth. So would they have the obligation, would they be deserving of the honor in this. If it's literally like Shavuos Yaakov is saying that it's all based on Bechor, so then who's to say that that child, that older brother would get the respect? Maybe he wouldn't. But we will go into sisters a little bit next week. We'll see another interesting Rambam. And then we're going to see a statement in source number 15 from Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz, which is going to blow your socks off. So don't wear socks next week, because it's gonna be crazy. This is one of the craziest halachic reasonings I remember, from any halacha that I've seen. Where he understands the obligation to respect older siblings from is something to behold. So look forward to that. You can try to read it yourself, but it is I still get very excited about it every time I teach it. Very relevant to my situation also. So keep that in mind. As a little bit of a teaser. All right. Thank you again to the Ungers for sponsoring Le'ilo Nishmas, Mrs. Unger, Hannah Unger, on the occasion of her Shloshim, Mirta Hashem, our learning. And anyone else who listens to this recording's learning should be Le'ilo Nishmasa, an elevation for her soul.